This is Art in Focus, brought to you by the McMullen Museum of Art at Boston College. My name is Megan Minahan, class of 2022 and a McMullen student ambassador. I'd like to welcome you in listening to our first installation of our Art in Focus podcast on the Mariano Variations on a Theme exhibition.
This episode features an interview with exhibition curator Elizabeth Thompson Goizueta from the Hispanic Studies section of the Department of Romance Languages and Literatures. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy. So hello, thank you for meeting with me this morning to talk about Mariano. Would you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to BC?
Yes, well, I'm very happy to be here with you also, Megan. And I got to BC, I'm afraid to say, 20 years ago, perhaps even a little bit more. Yeah, 21 years ago. I arrived from Loyola University in Chicago. My husband and I both arrived here employed by BC. He was in the theology department and I in the Department of Romance Languages and Literatures and Literature. And so I've been with BC for 20 years, 20 plus years. So I've had a long run here. Worn many hats.
So this is the sixth exhibition you've curated with the McMullen Museum. How and why did you decide to choose Mariano for this exhibit? And what about him and his work inspired you?
So, great question. I would say that I, among those many hats that I wear at BC, in addition to being a professor, I'm adjunct curator over at the McMullen Museum at Boston College. And I was working, believe it or not, in 2004 on a previous exhibit on the Cuban-born painter Wilfredo Lam. So in doing research on a research visa I had in Havana, Cuba, I was at the National Museum of Fine Arts looking and researching for the Wilfredo Lam retrospective when I came across Mariano's work in the permanent exhibition of the National Museum of Fine Arts. And I was astounded by the breadth and depth of his work. And I had, of course, been exposed to his work in many collections and many private collectors, many of whom are in Miami and who lent to the Wilfredo Lam exhibition. But I had never seen the comprehensive display that was exhibited at the National Museum of Fine Arts. And so at that point, I thought it would be really wonderful to bring this breadth and depth to the United States for the United States audiences and let them evaluate his work from this perspective, from a comprehensive perspective.
Amazing. And so what are some of the obstacles you've encountered along the way while planning this exhibit?
Well, of course, the biggest obstacle was that none of the works that I was viewing from the National Museum of Fine Arts could actually come to the United States. So the relationship between our two governments are such that there is no exchange, no museum-to-museum exchanges of works, which meant that I had to go throughout the world to find the works of Mariano that I would want to, just re-examine for this exhibition. So I was fortunate enough to have many contacts due to the other exhibitions that I've done in Latin America, of Latin American artists. And so I was able to tap into those connections. So we have collectors, many from Miami, many from New York. We have MoMA's The Cock from 1942, the famous rooster painting, and a watercolor from MoMA, as well as collectors in the Boston, New York area. And then, of course, I went international to the Dominican Republic, to Spain and Portugal, to Austria. So you can tell that his work was exhibited throughout the world, even though in the United States, our knowledge of Mariano is kind of frozen up until 1959. When it was the Cuban Revolution, and then the relationship between the two countries really dissolved with the embargo and the Bay of Pigs. And so we really have this huge gap from about 1959 till about the 70s and 80s when Mariano's work was very light, kind of serene and a little more lighthearted in terms of its descriptions and its depictions of the individual. Mostly the muse is the female with the flora and fauna of Cuba. So Cuba becomes the ultimate muse. And also in the collective, which he paints many collective works of kind of androgynous figures meant to represent el pueblo, the people.
Fantastic. You touched on my next question about how many of these paintings in our current exhibit are from private collections. Do you have any interesting stories about how you acquired them, or when you were looking to put this show together, who did you look to first to get some Marianos at the McMullen?
Well, I have many anecdotes, but I would say the most important thing that I want to highlight is that the archives, the Mariano Rodriguez archives and headquarters, are in Madrid. So Nancy Netzer and I made a trip to Madrid, one of many, to kind of talk with the co-presidents, who are the son, Alejandro Rodriguez, and the daughter, Dolores or Lolita Rodriguez. And we were in Madrid looking at all those works, which were fabulous. And we asked them if they would lend the works, which had never been seen in the United States, and some have never been exhibited anywhere. And they very kindly acquiesced. And so we're very happy to say that we have a lot of paintings that have never been exhibited before and are in Boston and the United States for the first time. I would say that the COVID made it very difficult in terms of collecting a lot of these works. There were border crossings. For example, the works that came from Portugal were supposed to be sent to Spain, and then they would be sent over together in a plane here. Unfortunately, because of border closings due to COVID, those works were held up, and we are happy to say that we, at the last minute, we did get them into the show. There were many difficulties just in contacting people, and I would say also at customs, our paintings were held up because the origin of the paintings were Cuban, and for the U.S. customs, that's a red flag. So those were held up a little over a month, and so it was down to the wire to get them into the United States and up on the walls in time for the opening. So there are many anecdotes, many stories that are wonderful. My collectors are great because I've known them from other exhibitions. They know me. There's a good amount of trust that's been established. And so we're very fortunate to have this, all these paintings that we have, and the drawings as well.
Wow, that's amazing. You touched on it again a little bit earlier about Mariano's children, Dolores and Alejandro Rodriguez. When you were working with them and still collaborating with them, what are some of the most interesting insights you learned from them about Mariano as a person, as a father, and as an artist?
So, I know Mariano, of course, as an artist, and I know his work from an artistic point of view. And so it was very enlightening for me to get his children, who are my age contemporary. The younger one is about my age, not to be revealed that age, but there is about a 20-year age gap between the brother and the sister. The sister's the eldest, and Mariano was married to his first wife. And then 20 years later, he married his second wife. And so there's this large age span. So you glean different things from different periods, artistic periods. So his daughter, who was born in the late 30s, remembers him very vividly in this period of the 40s, which is very influenced by the School of Paris. and his son was born in the 60s and therefore is very in tune to his work from that period of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But what I did glean from both of them is in a familial aspect. He was a fabulous father. He was very attentive. They both adored him, felt that he was very, very much a workaholic, very much an artist in every sense of the word. He never stopped drawing. He never stopped painting, even when he was with them. But he was able to bring them into his world, and they never felt excluded. And they felt very much a part of his artistic production in his artistic world. So I thought that was really interesting to find out that despite the age difference, they both had these marvelous recollections of his life at different periods of his time and that they valued him very much as a father.
Ding. Now to the themes of the exhibition. Much of the subject matter within this exhibit features images of roosters, women, still lifes, and as well as peasants. Which of these subject matters draws you in the most? And maybe which of the themes impacted you to pick certain paintings for the exhibit?
Okay, so Megan, that's a great question. I have to tell you that, you know, it became apparent to me in doing research that Mariano was a painter of themes. He used these themes or these leitmotifs over and over again in his production, in his canon, only he varied the language, the style in which he represented them. So for sure, the rooster is identified with Mariano. I love the rooster, but I wanted to go beyond the rooster and kind of explore some of his other themes. I think the theme of the woman is fascinating, whether she's with the rooster or independent of the rooster. The muse for Mariano was always the woman, and he looked for a lot of symmetry in his work, so he had male-female symmetry in terms of the male being represented by the rooster and the female, of course, represented by the female, whether it's a nude or whether it's portrait, whether it's abstraction. But he certainly liked to consider the woman. And the woman was in many times objectified, but in many times it was looking for this symmetry of domestic scenes in which the woman held sway and the woman was in control of that domain. And so you see the woman with much agency, whether she's, you know, cutting fruit or centrally represented with fruit or with the rooster or with another man. She definitely is the one that takes control of the scene and is the dominant figure in the scene. So I would say the woman is one of my favorite themes and the way he portrays the woman. I would also say that the grotesque woman or the grotesque man is also a fascinating development from that theme. So as we talk about the variations of the themes, we see them represented in different artistic styles. But also, Mariano is able to depict them in a very unique, radical way in which he's able to use these devices of voyeurism or objectification or exaggeration to really challenge the viewer to look at the woman and to consider her from a different viewpoint. So I find his works from 1965, the grotesques, I call them, I've dubbed them, the grotesque to be a fascinating period which has never really been studied before and certainly not displayed as a whole.
Moving on from those themes now and into more political related themes, Mariano lived in Cuba during Cuba's revolution. Did this influence his artwork or his career? And as well as, does any of his work reflect his political leanings?
This is a great question because Mariano, many people do not know that Mariano actually was a communist, belonged to a communist student group in the 30s when he was a young man in his 20s. So the fact that he adhered to the Cuban Revolution is not really surprising from an ideological point of view. What is surprising is that Mariano, throughout his production, beginning in the 30s, even though he was affiliated with the Communist Party and the communist ideology, he never used his art in a propagandistic way. So his work from the 30s is definitely influenced by the Mexican muralists, by this kind of national populist expression, but it never kind of crossed the line into a blatant communist expression. And that held sway even when the Cuban Revolution of 1959 became the regime for the next now 60 plus years. Mariano never used his experience and his aesthetic expression to follow social realism, which was the aesthetic counterpoint to communism. And instead, he depicted undoubtedly, populist demonstrations, but he depicted them, curiously enough, not in a social realism way, but rather in an abstract expressionist way or in a pop art way. So he's actually embracing two forms of expression, artistic expression, which are synonymous with the United States, abstract expressionism and pop art. So I think an argument could actually be made that Mariano's work was very apolitical instead of political, given his connections to the communist ideology and to his connections with the Cuban revolution, the Cuban regime.
Fantastic. Moving on to working with the McMullen, this is the sixth exhibition you've worked with us on. Is there a seventh exhibition in the works specifically with you?
There's always another exhibition in the works. I have to tell you that I don't want to give too much away, but I think it's high time that we explored women in the avant-garde, in the Cuban avant-garde, and their role in terms of really developing the avant-garde that we know. I mean, it's very male-centric, what we know of and what has been handed down to us. But I think with a little bit of scratching and digging, you can see that there was a fabulous generation of female artists, especially between 1945 and 1959, that really were able to make a mark and charter a course for avant-garde or vanguardia Cuban expression in the 20th century. So I think it's time that McMullen took up the woman's banner and waved that flag a little bit.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us today. We loved hearing your insights, and thank you again.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. And I hope everybody comes out to see the exhibit. It's absolutely free and it's absolutely beautiful. So come and see it.
That concludes this episode of Art in Focus. Thank you for listening. And be sure to visit The Terrace, the McMullen Student Publications page, to find more episodes in the series. This episode was produced by Rachel Brody, the McMullen Graduate Assistant and a doctoral candidate in the History Department. It was mixed and edited by Megan Minahan. Thanks to Rachel Chamberlain, the McMullen Manager of Education, and members of our digital team, Caitlin Park and Sasha Wong.